Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20 if you would. Exodus chapter 20. I want to try to be mindful of time today. Ladies got a lot going on today, but I don't want to take away time from the Lord. So anyway, you pray and that God will bless and God will help us this morning. Exodus chapter 20. I want you to think about what's being talked about, what's being said this morning. Let me just, there's just one verse, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Now, again, we could just close our Bible, stand up, be dismissed, and that could be the word. And you ought to be able to handle that, okay? Because that's the commandment of God, thou shalt not steal. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a minute. And I want to ask you to think about something before we pray and then while we pray. And I want you to think about everything that you have. I want you to think about everything, and let's think about everything that's in your truck or your car, okay? I want you to think about the things that you have inside of your house. I want you to think about the things that you have inside your tool shed or your outdoor shed or whatever it is. Think about things in your pantry. I want you to think about money in your bank account. I want you to think about videos that are at your home and music that's on your music player or whatever it is. And I want you to think about all those things that you say that you have in your hand that you own as your property. And I want you to ask yourself the question, how did I get it? Okay? Ask yourself the question, how did I get it? And I'll tell you that if it was not a gift and you did not pay for it, you stole it. Okay? You stop and think about that. Okay? Who in here breaks the commandments? Raise your hand. Okay, so who am I preaching to? All right? So you just stop and think about that. Now, I'm not going to make this difficult. I'm not going to make it complicated or anything like that. But just kind of run through in your mind. And I promise you, there's probably maybe somebody here already that started going through the list and they went, whoops. Okay? So anyway, this kind of church I pastor, that's all right. Amen? Amen? We're none of us are righteous. No, not one. Not one and not one. We're not righteous. We're not right. This is why Christ had to die for Bethel Church. Amen? So I want you to think about that, all right? And I'm just going to run down a list of things, run through some verses, and I'll give you some good news. I'm going to give you grace with the justice. Amen? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, dear God, for this day. And Lord, Father, I need help preaching this message. I need a lot of help. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give it. But bless these people. Lord, help us, dear God, to amend our ways. Lord, Father, we're so used to sin, God, that sometimes we just do it without even thinking about it. And Lord, Father, just help us. You've written your law inside of our hearts. And we know it, dear God. We know what's right. Lord, Father, let this message be a blessing to us, God, and not to condemn us, only, Lord, to save us and to bring us to repentance and bring us to you. And, Father, Lord, help us to realize, dear God, where all of our stuff can come from, Lord, if we want it to. Lord, just bless and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thou shalt not steal. Now, I'm going to run down a list of some things that in some cases I myself have been guilty of. I remember the first time some boys talked me into stealing candy bars from a store. Okay, they showed it to me and they got away with it. And the next time their mom and my mom went to, there was an old meat shop over here called Wilbert's Meat Market. Anybody, y'all remember that? Old Wilbert, he weighed about 500 pounds, man. And he'd just sit and he'd just eat fat trimmings off the stuff that he cut. He had an old meat market over there. And we got talked into I got talked into stealing candy bars. Now I say I got talked into it. It wasn't like I don't want candy. I don't even want that. Listen, I looked at it and I thought, well, it must be easy. They got away with it, and we were stuffing our pockets full. And the lady at the counter, she knew we was up to something. She didn't know what, and she wanted to know where we got the candy. And of course, you lied about it. See, when you break one commandment, you're fixing to break another one. Okay, you just follow the progression of sin. But anyway, we went outside and, boy, I mean, we didn't want to get caught with it. We was dumping all this candy outside of the store in the alley, you know. And I could say I got away with it, but I can tell you that I didn't. God chasing me over that deal. Now, there was a time in high school when I took two candy bars from the concessions closet at the elementary school. I was playing in the high school jazz band. We was playing for a teacher function. And in the break time, we were out in the lobby, and one of the kids found out where they stored all the concessions. And kids were coming out of this closet in the band and in the honor society. And I fell into that, John, and I love Snickers bars, and I saw them in there, and I took two, and I ate one right then. And I was on my way home, and God began to deal with me. So where's that other candy bar at? Well, it's in my pocket. What are you going to do with it? And I knew God was not going to let me eat that. I would have choked on every peanut in that thing. End up tossing it out the window, and what I ought to do is buy a box of Snickers bars and take it over there to the school. That was 20 some odd years ago, almost 30 years ago that I did that. In fact, I'm 45, it was probably 28, 29 years ago that I did that. And I ought to go back and pay that back to them with interest. Now, I'm just being honest with you, okay? So I've got it in me, just like everybody else has got it in you, okay? We see, we haven't got to covetousness yet, but when we covet things, we start figuring out how we're going to get it, okay? And what we'd like to do is we'd like to keep all of our money and then have all the stuff at the same time. Okay? The Bible talks about, and I don't have this in my list of verses, the Bible talks about a man that's hungry will steal. Okay? The repercussions to him are less than someone who is not hungry who just steals. Okay? I can understand a man stealing something, going to an orchard and stealing apples out of, if the man's starving to death. We kind of understand that. The Bible says still got to pay it off and this, that, and the other. But it's different. I don't see anybody in here that's starving to death. Okay? So number one, all you kids, you listen to this thing. I'm going to preach to you and I'm going to preach to the adults too. Thou shalt not steal. That means don't take it out of a store. If you did not pay for it, you should not take it. Don't try to stick it under your jacket, your coat, your pocket. Don't try to hide it. Okay, by the way, it's a different world now. There's cameras, there's a camera watching you. There's a guy in a room that saw you looking at that stuff, and he's more than likely got a camera on you right then. Okay? And if they catch you today, they're not nice about it. Okay? Don't steal stuff from store. Don't take too much. If you've been given too much change, don't keep it. Amen. McDonald's, I did that one time, and I almost kept it. They overpaid me $5, and I thought, here I'm fixing to get a hamburger, and they're paying for it and giving me $5 on top of it. And between the time the first drive-through window and the second drive-through window, God stopped all the food and would not let me move until he dealt with me about giving that money back. And when I pulled up to that second, is that DeSoto McDonald's, when I pulled up to that second window, they handed me when the double quarter pounders first came out, and I thought, man, I got to try that. That is a lot of grease. I got to have that in me. And I handed them that $5 back, and she just looked at me like a mule looking at a new fence. You know, like, what in the world? And I finally, you know, I told her, I said, they overpaid me back here. That's too much change. And I said, I'm giving it back. And she's like, what do I do with this? Listen, you can preach the gospel by giving the change back. And if you've been overpaid for something, give it back. That's stealing. If you take it, it's stealing. You know how we justify our stuff? We justify things. We're pretty good. In fact, we're pretty good about sinning and disobeying God's commandments and then justifying on ourselves. And I want to tell you something. You listen to this. This is called Thou Shalt Not Steal. If you justify your own actions, you're actually stealing from God. You're stealing God's glory. Because God is the one who wants to justify you when you have done something wrong. God wants to pay the debt for you and pay the bill and get all the glory from it. And when you justify your own actions as if it's not wrong for you to do this, and I don't care if it's a multi-billion dollar, you know what? McDonald's would have never missed $5. They would have never missed that. There's a multi-billion-dollar corporation whose profits right now, when all the economy stinks, McDonald's profits just keep going up. They would have never missed that $5, but it's the principle. And if we're supposed to live by anything, we're supposed to live by principles. Whether everybody sees us doing or not. It's not how you act when people are watching you. It's how you act when they're not watching you. Amen? Thou shalt not steal. If you've been given too much change, give it back. If you see on your paycheck that you've been overpaid for something, go to the accountant at the shop or wherever it is and say, this check is too much. It's not for me. You need to take this back. Okay? If you try to take that, God will take that from you quicker than you can turn your head. Okay? God will not let you, in fact, or He will let you keep it and think you got away with something, and you'll try it again. Okay? There is a woman that I know of. Some of you may remember her. She actually got sent to prison because she had sticky, every place she went to work, she had sticky fingers. She would always get bookkeeping and accountant's jobs where she worked, and she was constantly writing herself checks into the hundreds of thousands of dollars is what it ended up being. Okay? And I want to tell you something. If you have a position at your shop, at your job, where you handle money and you take one penny, if you see a penny on the floor and pick it up where you work, and you know there's change going back and forth where you work, and you know that penny belongs to the company, if you take that, that's stealing. Would you like to lose your soul for one penny? Much less your reputation. I wouldn't do it. Too much change. Tools from work. Don't steal from work. Listen, it's hard enough nowadays for a man to run a business. Okay? The government's stealing from him. He don't need the employees stealing from him too. Let me get an amen out of that. Okay? If there's tools at work, don't take them home. Don't use them. Don't steal stuff and material from work. And by the way, don't steal time from work either. If you work 4.5 hours and they sent you home, you put 4.5 hours down on your time card and turn that in. Okay? If the boss wants to be nice to you and say, you know what, just put down 8, I'll give that. See, that's a gift.
Right. Amen.
Okay? But if you're overcharging time at your shop or your place of employment, okay, and you're put, or watch this. Get on the cell phone. Call somebody that's, hey, buddy, could you clock me in? I'm running behind. That's stealing. It's dishonest gain. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Okay? Well, you don't understand. I'm late for work, and if I'm late one more time, then they're going to fire me. Get up early. Get your lazy carcass out of bed 30 minutes early. Get yourself motivated and get on down the road. Amen? Okay? Don't steal tools from work, and don't steal time from work either. Okay? That to the rest of the world, the American workforce is a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke, and they know it. There are people in this world that work 3 times as hard as most American workers out there, and they get paid a lot less for it, and glad to get it. We just came from that country. Okay? And I can tell you that there are people who live outside of this country that would give everything they had, including a body part, to come and live and work in this country and get paid what you're paid. Okay? So don't steal tax money that does not legally belong to you. Now, if the tax allows credits and this, if the IRS allows credits, take them. I believe in that. It's right to pay taxes, but if the government says I can keep it, I'm keeping it. Because I'll spend it a whole lot better than they will. It's a matter of principle, all right? And this is what we live by. We live by principles. But you do not cheat on your taxes, ever. If you run a business and you fill out tax forms as part of your business, you make sure you fill them out right. If you've got legitimate deductions, take them. If they're not legitimate, don't take them. Okay? Boy, you're saying, what's the next sermon going to be on, Pastor Mike? The next sermon is going to be about lying. That's worse. Okay? Is there anything wrong in anything that I've said so far? Okay? Tax money that does not legally belong to you. Don't keep it. Okay? It's not your money. Money from the government that does not legally belong to you. How many food stamp scams are running around out there? There's a ton of them. People collecting checks right and left from the government when it does not legally belong to them. Now, if it legally belongs to you, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? Insurance money. How many insurance scams are people running right now? Okay? Have some kind of little slip up at work, and you find you the right doctor that'll sign off on you having a disability, and your employer is having to fork over money for you every month because you say that you can't work, they'll be out there catching you on videotape roofing your house. If that money does not belong to you, do not keep it. That is wrongful gain, and it's stealing. And our commandment, our Lord, our God said, thou shalt not steal. And just because you got away with it, that doesn't make it right. In fact, you won't get away with it. I'm going to read you a verse here in a little bit that'll tell you that if you rob, God will send robbers to you. He won't let you keep it. Okay? The destroyer will come in, and the spoilers will come in and spoil everything you got. Okay? Money, don't steal. You know what really gets me? Okay? You hear about these dope heads and people running around, and they'll take money from their mom and dad. They'll steal money right out of their mom's purse.
Yeah.
That's wicked. You need to be, Michael tells us in Kenya, they cane you. Okay? You need to have your shirt pulled up and stripes laid across your back for stealing from your mom and dad. That is as wicked as it comes. Your mom and dad feed you three times a day. They buy you everything that you want and this and that. And just because you want to go out and have a little more fun on their account, why don't you ask mom and dad? You know why you don't ask? They'll say no. Or maybe they're just a little bit smarter than you are. Amen?
Yeah.
Maybe mom and dad's just a little bit smarter than you are, and they're saying, you know what, you don't need this money. This is not going to turn out good. Don't take money from your mom and dad, ever. Amen?
Amen?
Let me read a verse, Proverbs 28:24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith it is no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer. You know what? Who you are? You're in alignment with the beast. The Antichrist is who you are. You're not, that's not right. Man. Tools at work, things at work, time, money. It's all about gaining something and not having to lose anything to get it. It's all about not wanting to work either. Okay? It's all about not wanting to go to work and not wanting to do anything. And so we look for a cheap or an easy or a way to get things without paying for it or without somebody giving it to us. And that's stealing. You're a robber. You're a thief. And no robber or thief shall have their part with eternal life. They shall have their part in the lake of fire. Okay? That's what the Bible says. What about stuff on your music player? Where'd you get that from? The movies in your house, where'd you get them from? Okay? If they were not given to you and you did not pay for them, you stole them. Okay? And I'll tell you this, they're getting pretty particular about it now. All these deals on the internet where you can download all this free music instead. There is no such thing as free music, by the way. Okay? And where you can download all this stuff, these recording companies are going after these people. One lady, and I know this is an extreme case, but one lady and her daughter, they logged about, I don't know how many thousands of illegal songs off the internet that they downloaded, and they went after them in court and won. They sued this woman and her daughter for millions of dollars and won. Now this woman will never be able to pay that bill off again. But they sued her and won. Okay? And I want to tell you something. If the government's not watching you, God is. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a little mercy here. Okay? Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. When you steal, you're giving place. You know who the robber is? You know who the stealer is? The thief is? It's the devil. Okay? Let him that stole steal no more. Say amen to that.
Amen.
If you've stolen things, if you've taken things, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. You never know, but if you'll just go out and find you a job somewhere and work and earn money, instead of being a worthless deadbeat and a thief and stealing everything you can get your hands on, did you know that God will bless you so much that you'll be able to give to other people that need it?
Yeah.
Isn't God's way better?
Amen.
How would you like to be on the receiving end of someone that gave you something? See, that's a blessing, isn't it? Okay? There is no blessing in stealing things. There is no blessing in robbery. There is no blessing in thievery. There's nothing but a curse upon you. And see, we try to figure it out in our mind that if we take this and we keep the money instead of paying for it, then we'll have both. No, you won't. God will send spoilers in. You know what a spoiler is? A spoiler is that stuff that you see on stuff in the refrigerator after it sat in there for a long time. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay? Pull it out of the refrigerator. Think, boy, I got... And you smell it. And God's saying, your body cannot eat this. Isn't that amazing how God teaches us those lessons? Okay? You cannot eat this. If it doesn't smell right, we don't eat it. And God will send a spoiler into your life to take away from you what you have taken from somebody else. That is a biblical principle. Okay? Let me read you some other scriptures. Okay? You're a thief. All these things that I mentioned so far, am I right so far? Okay? Now let me read some other scriptures here. These are things that will make you a thief. Okay? Proverbs 29:24. Whosoever is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. Business partnerships where someone is going to be trying to do something that's shifty or illegal or against codes or anything like that. You business partner with them. If you find out they're doing it, you break it off. Because if you let it go, you're a thief just the same way they are. Because you knew about it and you didn't do anything about it. By the way, whistleblowers at work, I'm in favor of that. If you're working for a company and you know they're stealing stuff from this and that and the other, and you know they're doing things wrong, blow the whistle on them. Well, I'll lose my job. Listen, you don't want to be a partner with a thief, and that's exactly what you are. If you know about it, I'd say something about it. Okay? I'd say something about it. Boy, I'll tell you what, this is getting dangerous now. God will not bless those who violate His covenants and break His laws, but God will bless those who stand for righteousness. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Okay? But I'm just saying, if you're working for a company and you know they're not doing right, okay? I know it's going to take boldness and may take a lot of prayer on your part. Okay? God will let you, God will lead you into doing the right thing. But business partnerships that are especially where someone, if you're in business partners with someone that's lost, you know what? Your Bible says you're unequally yoked, okay, with unbelievers. And that's not a good thing. Can I get an amen out of somebody there? I mean, just stop and think about all these things that apply to our lives that we ignore out of the Bible. Okay? What usually happens when two people partner up in business, and I'm not necessarily against business partnerships, but I'm just saying you partner up with somebody and you're going to be in business with them, and you know they're lost. Okay? At some point, somebody's going to have to make a decision about what we're going to do here. Are we going to, you know, we're going to steal this? Are we going to take this or what? And if the partner says, well, we can't do that, he's putting your name in it. We'll get in trouble. Okay? It just kind of give you something to think about. John chapter 12, verse 6. Listen to this. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. Was he a thief? Let's read what the Bible says. Simon's son, which should betray him? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? What was Judas's motives for taking the ointment that was poured over Jesus? What was his motives behind that? He had no intention of keeping that 300 pence and giving it to poor people. I'm going to tell you what his deal was. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag. You know who Judas was? He was the treasurer of the disciples. He was the treasurer of the disciples. And I'll tell you something. I have an obligation. I don't know so much about Lisa, but Rose and myself and Alicia every now and then, we handle money that comes into this church. Okay? We handle that money. That money comes in. And sometimes, most of the time it's check, sometimes it's cash. We have a responsibility because God is watching this place. We have a responsibility to take it. That is the Lord's money. As soon as it's put in the mail, that money does not belong to me. It does not belong to Rose. It does not belong to Alicia. It technically does not even belong to this church or any member of this church. That money belongs to the Lord. As soon as you drop that in the plate, that money does not belong to any one of us. Or even corporately does it belong to us. That money belongs to the Lord. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
And one of the things that God, I want to tell you, God is looking for this, and this lost world is looking for this. You know what this lost world is looking for? They're looking for a church that'll handle its money right. Because how many churches are not? How many pastors are dipping into the till and getting all this money? And how many people in the churches are doing this and that and the other? I knew of a church, had a church secretary. This woman had a gambling problem. Church was ended up having a hard time paying its bills. Things were going well. Still couldn't pay their bills. Come to find out, $40,000 she had taken from the church and gambled it off. And when she got caught, she tried to kill herself with pills. Her husband vowed to pay all of it back, and they tried to, they wanted to restore this lady. They wouldn't mean about it. They wanted to, I believe in restoration. Amen? Amen. I believe in that. Okay? But I'm just saying, that's Judas right there. You're not on God's side. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? Isaiah chapter 1, verse, thank you very much for that amen. That blessed my heart. All right? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. You know who princes are? Politicians and leaders. Politicians. Okay? I am sick and tired of thieving, robbing politicians. I hate it. I hate what this country's turned into. This country is ruled by whoever has the money. And every politician knows it. Now, I don't care if it's in Washington, D.C., Jeff City, or down in the local level. Whoever has the money is the one who gets to run things. And everybody knows about it. I'm talking about politicians taking money under the tables. If it was me running the show, I would outlaw every corporate-funded trip to send a politician on in this country. I would outlaw every bit of that. You know why? That's all about hobnobbing with the boys who control the money strings, purse strings. And if it's wrong for church members to do it, and if it's wrong for people to do it at McDonald's and people doing it in a workplace, it's wrong for our politicians to do what? Listen, if you're not going to say amen to that one. Amen, that's politicians. Amen? We're all against them. He said, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves, and everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. That's a thief! Politicians who are in it to take bribes, politicians who are in it, because here's the biggest bribe of them all, and it's legal. If you'll come to our meeting and support our cause, we'll put $4.2 million into your reelection campaign. And the guy that's running against you will not stand a chance of running against you, because he won't have that kind of money. That to me is as rotten as a politician taking money under the table. And you can write every one of them a letter and put my name on it and said, I said it. And by the way, it's wrong also, and y'all know this happens, that when whoever's in charge of the government, if they got people that's opposition, you know what they do? They send the IRS after them. Go look at their books. Try to get them in trouble somehow, some way. That's a corrupt government. He said, they follow after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. They don't care about people. They care about money. And I'm going to ask you, who is your God? Who is your God? If money is your God and you're trying to get money however you feel like and however you want to, and it's illegal and it's immoral, then money is your God. You're doing whatever money tells you to do. If merchandise and things that attract you, and you've got to have them no matter how you get them, those are your God right there. And we covered that the very first message we started preaching, that I shall have no other gods before me. And stealing and thieving and robbery has everything to do with who your God is. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the ware, in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers. I mentioned this morning during Sunday school that at one time I used to sell merchandise at a table in churches. We sell videotapes. We sell books. Okay? And thought we was coming out pretty good until God said, try it my way. Don't sell anything. Give it away. And at the first meeting that I ever did that on, I wept. That is a 7-8 hour drive home. I wept most of it on the way home. Because after that week, God had made sure that people had given as a donation. I'd never asked for anything. Put in the donation box that I had set up there more money than I had ever taken in by selling merchandise in a church. And I said, God, you are so right. You are so right, God. I didn't know it at the time, but I was starting to bear the marks of a wolf in sheep's clothing. I was making merchandise with something that God had given to me absolutely free. God had given me wisdom. God had helped me see things in the Bible and I would write books about it and do videos on it. And then I was going selling this stuff. And God said, Mike, that's not my way. I'm just as guilty and rotten as everybody else is here. Amen? You can amen that. Anyway, he overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. And I want to tell you something. As long as I'm pastor of this church, we will not ever turn this place into a store. Okay? We spent money on these little coffee cups out here with our church name on it and the website. They're for free. We spent money on these t-shirts and these shirts out here. They cost us a little bit of money. People came to our homecoming and asked, how much are they? And I said, they're not for sale. That here's what they cost us if you want to do that. But we've not had somebody standing there with a pair of handcuffs and a can of mace and a badge sitting back there at the table going, oh, you need to pay for that. Nobody stands out there and watches the table to make sure somebody doesn't take it off of there. It's free. Every video, every book is free. Okay? And God has blessed us more than he would have had we been trying to sell it. And that's how it's going to be. And when we completely run out of the money from having to spend so much on putting this stuff out, then we're done. And we'll just wait for God to do something else with our church. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to turn this church into a den of thieves. Can I get at least, I need two people to say amen. That way I know I still got a job after this message, all right? Well, I didn't think I was going to cry this much, but I want to tell you something. We're just so rotten in our ways. We're so corrupt and we're so vile in our ways, and we want this and we want that. And I'll tell you something. You may not have stolen anything in a long, 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 long time, but you thought about it. Okay? Kids, when you're at school, if there's a pencil laying on the floor and you did not bring that pencil to school, that does not belong to you. And I'm talking about a 2-cent pencil. That pencil does not belong to you. Well, what do you want me to do with it? Turn it, give it to the teacher. Somebody will find it. Amen? Somebody. And if not, it'll just, your teacher needs a new pencil. God knew that. God will give you a whole box full of pencils. Okay? I'm just telling you that's how he works. How else can we steal from God? Fasten your seatbelts. Get ready for this. The first, Exodus 23:19, the first of the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. The first of the first fruits. Who gets it first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Okay? And bless their heart, there was somebody this week that sent me an email, and they're asking about tithing. And they're saying, I have a really hard time trying to pay my bills, and by the time I'm done paying all my bills, and when I see what's left, I don't have enough to tithe on. And I just wrote her back and said, you know, read. I gave her the scriptures to read and so on. I'm going to let the Bible speak to her. But I'm going to tell you something. First, God gets it first. You don't wait to pay all your bills and take care of all your stuff and to buy all your stuff at Walmart that you're going to get and go to the vacation and this. You don't wait for that to take care of business with God. God gets it first. And if not, you're a thief. And I'm going to show you that. You don't like that, I can't help it. I have to preach the word and I have to tell it exactly the way it's written. And the Bible says you're a thief. Exodus chapter 13, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Now I'm going to give you something here, and I want you to really stop and think about this and pray about this. Your firstborn child did not belong to you. And I'll show you example after example in the scriptures. Your firstborn child should have belonged to the Lord. Okay? What happened when Hannah finally gave Samuel over to the Lord? How many kids did she have after that? About 5 or 7. I remember which one it was. But she had she was popping kids out right and left. Did not God's principle seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you? Was that not applied in her life? Absolutely. Your firstborn child should belong to the Lord. You should say, God, you do whatever you want to with this child. When are we going to trust God? When are we going to start trusting God? Don't wait too long. Okay? God talks about in Exodus the first ripe fruits and the firstborn sons. He said they're to be given to him. Now there is a redemption process where you can buy them back from God. Okay? I mean, and I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But that's just what the Bible says. Now take your Bible, turn to Malachi if you would. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm almost done. I hate to end on this, and I'm not. I've got a couple more things to say, but I'm going to do this real fast. I'm not going to beat you over the head with this. Okay? I promise you I will. I will not beat you over the head with this. But those of you, we've testified on numerous occasions that when you do things God's way, God will bless you. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. And I've said this before. You do not have to ask God to bless you when you obey him. That is an automatic deal when you obey God. You do, however, have to ask God to bless you when you are disobedient. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Okay? So I'm just going to read the scripture. And, I want to tell this story because John's sitting here. It's funny, but it's sad. John was preaching a message one night out of his church and said, will a man rob God? And he started preaching that and made a fellow mad. John just followed the scriptures and he said, a thief cannot be a partaker of the kingdom of God. A thief will have their part in the lake of fire. And it made this guy mad in his church. And he went to arguing with John and going on after him and this and that and the other. And making a big old scene. And John stood his ground. He said, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. He said, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe you have to tithe. I don't believe you have to do this. And I don't believe you have to do that. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, who I'll get involved in this. And I'll get Mike Hoggard involved in this. I'll call him and find out what he's got to say. John said, here's his number right here. Right? Listen, John wasn't thinking I was going to take his side. John knew I was just going to say, you know, let me tell you what the Bible says. And the guy got on the phone with me the next day and started ranting and raving about John Uter this. And I said, no, let's get back to the issue here. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you pay tithes? And it took him 10 minutes to answer that question. I said, now let's get back to the question. Do you pay tithes? And he said, well, no. I said, then you are a thief. Well, he didn't like that. John will probably tell you the rest of the story. Will a man rob God? Now I'm going to tell you something. If you'll steal from McDonald's, and you'll steal from Walmart, and you'll steal from the government, and you'll steal from your own parents, you will steal from God. And if you'll steal from God, you'll steal from everybody else too. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And don't hang around after church and say, but Pastor Mike, under the law, that's under the law. We're not under the law. We don't have to keep the law. Then fine. Go commit adultery. Go ahead. If you think we don't have to keep the law anymore, just shack up with somebody. In tithes and offerings, both of them. Tithes is 10%, offerings is above that. Okay? Now, that one you got a little leeway on. Okay? But tithes is 10%. Okay? In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. That doesn't sound like salvation terminology to me. Amen? You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes where? Into the storehouse. And let me just say this very quickly. The tithes, according to the Old Testament law, the tithes were for the maintenance of the Levite priests. Okay? In fact, the Levite priests got all 100% of the tithes that were brought in. Now, I'm not asking. And by the way, we have not instituted some new policy where I get a bonus based on how much money comes into the church. Okay? I'm not preaching for gain. That's not me. If you think that is, you're wrong. Okay? But I'm here to tell you, this right here is the storehouse. He said, bring it into the storehouse. It is for the maintenance, it is for the maintenance of the work of God here in this place. And we have a responsibility as men, as deacons, as elders in this church who govern and watch over the things of this church, who are stewards. We have a responsibility to make sure that God's money is spent in the right way. Can I get an amen out of my board? Let's all be in agreement here. We have an obligation to make sure that that is done right, because this church is looking to these men who are taking care of this, saying, we trust you, don't let us down. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. See, the reason why you don't tithe is that you want to keep it. Are you listening to me? The reason why you don't tithe is because you want to hang on to 10 lousy percent. You want to hang on to it. Where God says, if you'll just prove me now herewith, you won't have enough room. There will not be enough room for you to keep all the stuff that I'll give you. And by the way, let me say this to you. Rather than you stealing the next time, won't you just ask God for it? When you sat down to breakfast this morning, who did you thank for that food? By the way, if you didn't, you're a thief. If you sat down to breakfast this morning, who did you thank for that food? When you laid your head down tonight and prayed and thanked God for your salvation, who gave that to you? God gave that to you. If God would give His own Son, what stupid little 29-cent trinket would He not give you? That's a good daddy. You see, I've given to my children. Where are they at? Okay? Lisa and I have given to our children. They ask us for stuff, and we finally, okay, you can have this and that and the other. You might call that, I don't like to spoil my kids, but a good mom and daddy will buy things for their children. Amen. They'll give them every now and then what they ask. Can I have those shoes instead of those shoes? And we might grunt and complain, but we'll write the check. And we're evil. Lisa and I are evil parents. Just ask them. Okay? And my Father is not evil. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to steal anything from God. Not even your tithes. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Jeremiah 23 talks about, read this, Jeremiah 23, 29 talks about stealing the word out of people's hands. Okay, I don't have time to preach that this morning. In fact, God's not leading me to. But there's a way that you can actually steal the Bible out of people's hands. That's wicked. You're a thief. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Every time you pick that up and put that in your pocket, the Holy Spirit just grieves over you. He just grieves. He weeps. He said, I would have given you that. In fact, I would have given you something twice as good as that. You don't have to steal. That stuff off the internet that you took, you didn't have to steal it. In fact, God would give you something better than that. In fact, probably the music that you stole from the internet, God got a lot better music to give you. Amen. I want you to bow your head this morning. Close your eyes. We have deputy sheriffs waiting in the background to arrest anybody that comes down to the altar this morning. No. No, the Holy Ghost has done arrested you. You stole. And the Holy Ghost of God has placed you under arrest right now. You're in cuffs. You're in bondage. And if I were you, I'd plead to the mercy of the court. I would plead to the judge. Judge, I know I stole. Will you forgive me? Will the court have mercy on me? And the court will. Just think about what you've got and how you got it. and ask yourself, was it worth it? Okay? And rather than God exposing you for being a thief publicly, He's dealing with you right now about it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this message. And God, I didn't want to preach it, but I thank you for it, God. And I thank you, Lord, for dealing with our hearts today. Lord, we've got so much rottenness in our bones, God. We just do this stuff and don't even think about it anymore. God, that's dangerous. That is so dangerous, God. Father, I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would cause us to cause the Holy Ghost to just grieve. The next time we steal something that doesn't belong to us, God, we would just, just tear us apart. The next time we do that, God, we're not promising you that we won't ever do it again, because we can't. But we're asking you, God, Lord, to chastise us if we do. Lord, Father, just bring conviction to souls today. Save some sinner, dear God. Lord, bring us to repentance and bring us to righteousness, God, and help us to amend our ways. Thank you, dear God, for dealing with us and for, Lord, for shooting straight with us, dear God, for saying it like it is. God, I thank you for that. Lord, just bless this church and help us, Lord, to do right. Lord, help the preacher to do right and help the board to do right and help the church members to do right, God, that lost people could see, dear God, here's a church that fears God. Thank you, Lord, for the Ten Commandments. Lord, burn them into our souls. We love you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. I love you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.